Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
As we move into a new week on the Beacon broadcast, we are still looking at 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. As our text, and we are expanding upon that text with a great deal of detail by going to the Second London Baptist Confession of 1689. But the text says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Just a surface reading of that text makes it clear that assurance of salvation is possible. In fact, it is desirable. It is the normally healthy spiritual state. And John is writing this epistle to help his readers arrive at that state of a settled assurance, a true biblical assurance of salvation. And he tells us that the entire book is written for that purpose. "These things I have written unto you." And so all of the contents of 1 John up unto this statement in verse 13 of chapter 5 are written with that in mind. And we have been combing through first the text and also some of the larger context in the book of 1 John. But more recently, we have been examining the statements in the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith, because I believe they touch upon some subjects that do not grow obviously and immediately out of the text, but still relate to this subject in a very important and helpful way. And so we will continue that until we conclude it, and that will probably take us a couple of more broadcasts. But I welcome you to this Monday, February 4 edition of the Beacon broadcast, and remind you of our dependence upon financial gifts from our radio listeners in order to continue teaching God's Word on this station. Now, we break again into the third statement in this chapter on assurance of grace and salvation, which is chapter 18 of this confession that we are examining. And we read, starting in the middle of the third statement, "It therefore becomes the duty of everyone to be as diligent as possible in making his calling and election sure." So that statement tells us that this is something we need to work at until we have achieved it. And then it goes on to say, by doing this, he will experience greater peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, greater love and thankfulness to God, and an increased strength and cheerfulness in dutiful obedience. And that's where I want to land for the moment. We've already touched on the others. It is important to our peace to have assurance of salvation and joy and our love to God and our thankfulness to God. All of these things that are stated here are very important, and they are results of a biblical assurance, and they are also desirable qualities for the Christian life. And since they are desirable qualities, and since they are related to the doctrine of assurance of salvation, then it is important to understand and acquire a biblical assurance of salvation. But it is the last two that I'm looking at now, an increased strength and cheerfulness in dutiful obedience. It is an aid to our humble obedience to God and to the commands of His Word to know with a biblical certainty that we are a child of God. And that lends, this confession says, increased strength to our cheerfulness in dutiful obedience. More difficult to obey with cheerfulness and with strength if you don't know whether or not you are a child of God. It should be obvious, but sometimes things like this need to be stated. So when you are plagued with doubts, it is more difficult to be cheerful in your obedience to the commands of God. They don't seem like something that you are cheerful about doing. You're not cheerful in your Christian life. You're not cheerful in your relationship with God because you're not sure whether you are a child of God. But when biblical obedience enters your soul, then it is so much more likely that you will, with enthusiasm, with joy, with cheerfulness, obey the commands of God. And this statement three of the four, concludes by saying these things are the natural outcome of the assurance of salvation, and they constitute strong evidence that assurance does not lead men into loose living. That, of course, is the fear that some have, that if you lead men to an assurance of salvation, that will make them careless in how they live. And that somehow people live better Christian lives if they have this nagging doubt that they may not be a Christian, or that they might somehow lose salvation if they don't toe the line, and so that becomes an important, and some would say even necessary, incentive for dutiful obedience. But this statement, this confession of faith, says it's just the opposite, and I'm convinced that their perspective is exactly the biblical perspective. No, it's not the threat of damnation hanging over your head that makes you more serious in your biblical obedience. It is the freedom and joy and increased love in your heart toward Christ that comes when you have this assurance that you belong to Him. That may not make immediate sense to people who have not yet discovered that truth, but that is, in fact, the case. And the sooner you understand that and experience it and employ that into your thinking and into your practical Christian living, the better off you will be. Now that brings us to the fourth and final statement in this confession. And here's what it says. True believers may find that their assurance of salvation fluctuates, sometimes more, sometimes less. They may prove neglectful in preserving it, as, for example, if they give way to some particular sin that wounds their conscience and grieves the spirit, or a strong temptation may suddenly spring upon them, or God may see fit to withdraw the light of His countenance and cause darkness to envelop them, a course He sometimes takes even with those who fear His name. Yet, whatever happens, certain things inevitably remain with them. The new nature, which is born of God, the life of faith, the love of Christ and the brethren, sincerity of heart and conscience of duty. And by reason of these, and through the work carried on by the Holy Spirit within them, the assurance of salvation may in due time be revived. In the meantime, the same influences preserve them from utter despair. All right, this is very helpful. It's a bit lengthy, so we'll break it down piece by piece, but I go back to the first statement. True believers may find that their assurance of salvation fluctuates, sometimes more, sometimes less. Assurance of salvation is not necessarily an item which, once acquired, remains constant from then on out. It can be acquired, and then it can be lost. Salvation is not acquired and then lost, but assurance of salvation is. Sometimes it slips away completely, so that those who had assurance of salvation yesterday may lack that assurance today, and this statement goes on to give some of the reasons why that may be the case, and we'll get into those in a moment, but I just simply make that statement now. It's possible to have an assurance of salvation yesterday and to lose that, to be without that today. Not salvation. It is true. The Bible truly does teach that once a person is truly saved, they are always saved. They cannot lose genuine salvation, but it is possible to lose assurance of salvation, which is the reason, I think, why some people think that it's possible to lose salvation. They confuse the reality of the new birth, which once it has happened, once it occurs, is a never-dying life that cannot be lost. But they confuse that reality with the sense of that reality, the perception of that reality, the certainty of that reality as it applies to me personally, my own emotional response to that, my own sense of whether or not that is true for me. And that does fluctuate, and that can be lost. So sometimes what people are communicating when they insist that it's possible for a person to lose their salvation is the subjective sense of assurance of salvation. What they really mean, though they don't understand it, is that it's possible for a person who is truly saved and formerly had an assurance of salvation to lose that assurance, and therefore to not be sure that they're saved, and maybe even to think that they are lost. And they take that to mean that because they feel that way, that's reality. But it's not. And we have to therefore distinguish between what we feel and what is true. And feelings can fluctuate, but truth does not fluctuate. Feelings come and go, and a sense of assurance can become stronger or weaker, and sometimes, as I say, even seems to completely disappear altogether. But because that is true, does not mean that salvation has truly been lost. It's just that our sense of belonging to Christ, our sense of being saved, has, for the moment, disappeared and therefore needs to be reestablished. If our assurance of salvation is gone, then we need to roll up our sleeves and go to work and make that the most important focus of our life right now, to find out why we have lost that assurance of salvation and to endeavor to see it restored by using biblical means for that to happen. And we'll have to wait until tomorrow to talk more about how that is done, but it is important. And if I'm talking to someone that's in that condition, you need to pay attention. Please tune in tomorrow, and we'll talk more about how to revive a weak assurance of salvation. Until then, this is Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.